From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time, Friday. Better than that, it's Good Friday, and even more importantly than that, it's Easter weekend. It's a time for celebration for all Christians. It's a time to celebrate God, family, and country. It's a time to be grateful for the sacred cause of liberty. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the United States of America. And we hope that we can set an example, be a light on a hill for the rest of the world. If they can obey the same principles we've learned to obey by Almighty God's direction, then they can be great too. Because America is not great because we're better than somebody else. America is great because we understand, or at least we used to, the principles that make people and nations and families great. As the Tocqueville pointed out, they're great because they're good, meaning moral. If we're losing our greatness, it's because we're losing our morality, people. And there's only one way back. And you can say, well, I'm not as religious as you are there, Sam. Fine, say what you want. I'm just telling you, the only true solution, the only saving grace, to turn to the Savior Jesus Christ, our King. Happy Easter, and welcome to Hour 2 of Liberty Roundtable Live, Dr. Scott Bradley.
Well, thank you, Sam. I think that, you know, you talked about this should be a great commemoration for Christians, and I agree wholeheartedly with that. But we're all peoples to come to understand the expansiveness and the universality of Jesus Christ's mission upon the earth and his fulfillment of everything the Father put in his hands. It would be a commemoration for all people in all times, and literally this is the time of year that we commemorate the fulfillment of that mortal ministry. Now, of course, his expansive love doesn't stop with his death and resurrection. It's eternal. So this thing is, it's beyond what mortal comprehension can possibly give, and I appreciate you being able to kind of focus on that as you start this weekend. And I think if we all did that a little bit more fervently, it would come to be a little bit more of a magnificent, well, like I say, the sun's up today, the skies are beautiful, and in a spiritual sense, it should be that way for all of us, too.
God loves his children. There's no mistake about that. The question is, do we love him? And we need to work on that, folks. It's something that, you know what, at the core of this discussion, really, Dr. Bradley, and I know we talk about this a lot on the radio, but I cannot let it go. The core of this is our agency. In other words, our free will, as some call it, free agency, as others call it. Okay, we're talking about the natural characteristic we share in common with God Almighty. All right, we are created in his image and in his likeness. And you know what? We have the ability to make choices, to decide whom we will follow, in whom we will put our trust. In other words, we decide we're going to keep the Ten Commandments of God and be self-governed and receive the Author of Liberty's blessings, or are we going to turn our back on it? And Lowell Nelson asked me an interesting question last hour. He said to me, Sam, what do you miss the most since they've kind of cranked up this pandemic over the last year and destroyed a lot of our liberties and our free association and all these kind of things? What do you miss the most? And at first I was thinking I miss a handshake and a hug. And if you give somebody a handshake or a hug in public, you look around and go, ooh, is everybody going to barbecue me? And am I going to be in trouble? I can't believe I just gave somebody a hug in public or whatever. You know, you feel bad about that. But then I really reflected further. I said, what do I miss the most? In past crises in America, whether it be a natural disaster, a man-made disaster, a war, a famine, I don't know, something, we've always turned to our God as a country. And even 9/11 being the quintessential example of this, we didn't turn to God long enough, But even those people who never mentioned God did for a time say, we need our God. We need to turn to our God. They did that then. In this pandemic, I see individuals turning to their God without a doubt. And I'm grateful for that. Don't misunderstand the point. However, as a nation, I don't think that we turn to our God at all. We're all about we're going to have to get a man-made vaccination, a serum shot into your veins that's experimental at best. We got to have government force us to be antisocial and stay away from each other. We've literally turned against religion and said, don't you dare go to your church and worship. Don't you dare meet together to fast and pray with the saints of God. Don't you dare. And even the people who you think should be standing up and saying, wait a minute, we need to meet. We need to turn to our God. Many of those people are basically chiming in and saying, oh, my gosh, we better not meet. And as far as I can tell, God told us to meet together off to fast and to pray and to meet together because, you know what, it's kind of like a fire. When the logs are together in the fire, there's great warmth and strength and power and light and goodness. And if we just get separated pretty soon, it's easy to get cold and dark and damp and the flame goes out. And so what I miss the most, Dr. Bradley, and then I'll turn it over to you, I miss that we are not as a nation turning to our God like we have hitherto done. And I'm telling you, if we don't, we shall reap the whirlwind. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to be belligerent. But I am trying to point out a fundamental truth that you cannot have God's protection. You cannot receive his blessings without turning to him and inviting him into your life. It's an agency-based choice. You must use your faculties as a son or daughter of Almighty God with a godly heritage to make a decision to say, I want to make my will God's will. And when we do, the blessings roll forward, the principles of liberty are upheld. It's just a glorious thing. When we do not, sir, I don't mean to be negative, but it's curtains, buddy. And I don't mean to make that contrast so blunt and blatant, but I don't see any other reality. It is that blatant. And I agree we're all along that spectrum as people. We're not perfect. But I'm telling you that I miss the most that we as a people are not turning to our God. And to me, it is a sad day. As we celebrate Easter, I hope to change that by educating and informing and providing leadership and guidance and love and support and encouragement and remembrance to that effect, sir.
Well, I think you've hit upon an accurate, though tragic, observation. And you point out some of past events wherein the people were humbled enough to kind of have their hearts softened and meet together and pray, and we can go back, you know, all through history, different peoples that have looked to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But in addition, we find throughout the revolutionary period and the founding of this nation, many days of fasting and prayer. And in fact, legislatively directed days where people are admonished, let's turn our hearts to God. Days in the beginning of this republic when the President of the United States, George Washington, was directed by Congress to establish a day of fasting and prayer, which it was in November of 1789. And so all of these things that have historically happened have been a kind of a rekindling, if you will, of that remembrance of the source of all our gifts. But sadly, I think you have accurately assessed what's been going on for the past year plus. I have been sorely disappointed. The Church of Christ, in many ways, has been turned to the Church of the COVID. And I say that almost sounds blasphemous, but the hierarchy of the Church, the institutions themselves, have become so absolutely focused on the owing to the awfuls that they have come to fear. And they have fostered it's not a narrative, it's a script of fear that has been brought forth, and I believe that script, it came forth so instantly the beginning of March last year that I really believe that many of those large institutions were probably in the planning sessions. They were brought into the inner circle, if you will, of those that had suggested that this was going to be what our future was going to be. And so I've observed for the entire year how COVID has displaced the words COVID. I mean, it starts with C and so does Christ, but that's the only correlation I can make. But they've come to worship false gods. They worship researchers and physicians and pharma companies and politicians and media moguls and talking heads. And they look to the world for salvation. And truly, truly, it has disrupted everything that I hold sacred. I have found it absolute buffoonery to think that you look at every single level of every single thing that's happened, and the fasting and prayer on behalf of a vaccine that's not scriptural, and how this has historically been done with vaccinations, and how years have taken, and most of the time a COVID-based vaccine has taken years to research, but never been brought forth because of all the challenges, and people are now just farming. They're falling down. You remember in the book of Daniel where Nebuchadnezzar built this big, tall golden statue, and they said, whenever the music starts, you got to fall down and worship this thing, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, the heck you say? You remember that story? Well, here's the deal. We all fall down and worship. Everybody's on the ground groveling before these false gods that have been erected before us. Do we have to take a break
already?
Ladies
and gentlemen, it's about the sacred principle of agency, ladies and gentlemen. This Easter weekend, we bring you back in remembrance of what I believe matters most. Do you know who Daniel Horowitz is? He wrote an op-ed. We'll talk about it in seconds with Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Live and on your radio, Sam Bushman and Dr. Scott Bradley, to preserve the nation, his long life goal, if you will. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website, to advocate for and educate regarding your rights, the supreme law of the land, and how we can restore the republic and the traditions of our founding fathers. It's all about to preserve this nation, if you will. But Dr. Bradley, to make your point about we're turning to the arm of flesh instead of to our God for solutions, we're groveling at so-called science that's not even science, it's pseudoscience at best. But here is an article, an op-ed piece written by Daniel Horowitz. And the headline says this, WHO data, meaning World Health Organization data, ivermectin, and we've talked about this from Dr. Corey and others for quite some time now. He testified before Congress. Ivermectin, a very inexpensive, cheap drug. World Health Organization data says ivermectin reduces COVID mortality by 81%. Also, the World Health Organization, we still don't recommend it. The blaze with the peace. So ivermectin reduces mortality death rates by 81%, but we're not going to use it. And then when you dig into the reason they say that we're not going to use it or that we're not going to recommend it, it's because they say it's not tried and true and tested enough. Never mind that around the world they're acknowledging and that it's been tested many places. But what they want to do is just dovetail you into an expensive experimental gene therapy, not even really a vaccination. And that's tried and true enough. We're going to skip all the normal protocols to test it and vet it and do all that because it's an, quote, emergency. But yet we're going to deny the ivermectin research and studies and efforts and facts that even the World Health Organization points out, 81%+ effective, but we're not going to use it because the research or the case studies aren't there. I mean, this is what we're talking about. We're being led alone by led around by a nose ring, doctor.
It's interesting to me that that they discount and toss out ivermectin, and there's a, not countless, but many other modalities that could help with the challenges that exist, and they are minimal challenges in comparison to what we've been told. But they say, oh, it's an off-label use, and so on and so forth. Well, really, 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 stop and think for just a minute. We are using a medical modality. I can't even call it a vaccine because it really is not a vaccine. A vaccine would give immunity and prevent spread. This has been demonstrated, this current thing that they're doing with jabbing people in the arm does not do that. It does not even purport to do that. And everybody at the highest levels of every organization that's touting this says, oh, still social distance, mask, let's make sure that we still hand sanitize. Let's not have any contact, blah, 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 blah. It's because it does not do what everybody thinks a vaccine does. But even beyond that, it's coming forth under an emergency use authorization, EUA. This is not even certified as a vaccine. It is not FDA approved. It is, if you will, an off-label use of something that's never had a use. That anybody has ever been able to say, well, here's something that might work because we've used it in these 10 million cases previously and it's had a favorable outcome in cases that are similar, blah, blah, blah. There isn't a single solitary anything that would say this has passed any level of muster. The most they've tested it on is for 40 days. They don't have any clue about long-term effects. It could be something like a death of a long time or maybe some kind of autoimmune system or infertility. Or you could have any number of things that could happen along with all the other things that they know are happening that are causing deaths. But so it's a complete inconsistency about what is going on here. And they're promoting, on the one hand, something that's completely, totally, and unequivocally unproven and was developed at warp speed, that's their own words, and we're throwing it forward, and they're trying to make this the solution to anything and everything, and they're even making it so that people cannot even go forward, buy groceries and attend events or gather with friends in restaurants, blah, 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 travel, everything, normal everyday work.
And if you speak against it in any way, Dr. Bradley, you become a fake news peddler at the least, a terrorist more likely. In other words, you're not even able to express your beliefs or concerns or opinions regarding their experimental trials globally without evidence of it working or being effective or safe or anything else. And you're not even allowed to bring up any opposition or you become a criminal enemy in their minds and in the way they manipulate and pitch this destruction of your agency, sir.
Well, it violates the script that they've put out. And it's very interesting to me that the script is so closely adhered to that the most prominent people in the world are standing by it. And if people would just stop and use their minds and think about this for a moment, And not, I mean, I've got an aphorism I use a lot. Distrust until verified. Not the trust, but verify. Distrust until verified. And at this point, we do not have a verification. And it's interesting to me, in the Nuremberg Nazi trials, it was brought out that there were guys like Mengels and some other monsters that did medical experiments on people without their consent. This is the largest medical experiment that has ever been brought forth upon humanity, this jab in the arm thing that they're promoting to the nth degree. It is a medical experiment, and most people are not wise enough or not in any way, shape, or form given informed consent opportunity on this thing. So you are a guinea pig if you take the jab. Now, that's just the facts of life. It violates the protocols that came out of the Nuremberg war crimes trials, and it's being promoted so completely across the board that most people unthinkingly do it. I have had personal contact with people that have been on death's door since taking the vaccine, so-called, which it is not, because it has not, it by definition, it doesn't qualify. It's not FDA approved. It's not demonstrated safe and effective. It's not promoting and keeping from any kind of infection. It's not preventing the spread, all those kinds of things. So I can't call it that, really. It's some kind of medical modality. But no, I literally, personally, have had contact with people that have had cratering their health since taking it. But you, as you point out, you can't talk about it. And let's go back just to the agency, and maybe we can circle around to this agency thing, because I really believe it is an eternal principle. I believe that God has ordained, and he has supported and sustained and upheld our freedom to choose. This is an eternal principle that is an unalienable right, okay? And governments have long since been at the center of seeking to take away our agency, and that's why I believe it's satanic because Satan opposes God's truths and positions and purposes. So I believe when the government steps in and destroys agency, now the agency can be destroyed by force and compulsion. It can be also be destroyed by misinformation and direction and counsel that says it uses the force of government to do this or that or the other. And I think that is exactly what's happening with this medical modality that they're forcing upon people. And it's not just governments, it's businesses and everything else. But maybe, I know we're coming up on a break for the midpoint, but there was a little book written it was published in 1947 by Henry Grady Weaver. It's called The Mainspring of Human Progress. And it kind of points out how people are able to go forward and succeed because they have this freedom to choose. And it happens at all levels, whether you're religion or whether you're going to have a family or whether you're going to follow a path. And people are free to choose under that to take this proposed modality or to not. And I guess what I like about Henry Grady Weaver's approach is that he says this is the basis of all progress in humanity. And right now, it's all under a heavy clamp. And sadly, religions are helping promote this idea. In fact, I've almost gotten to the point that I will consider some religious promotion of something until that word COVID or these difficult times or, you know, these trying times or we're all in this together comes out, and it's like, oh, forget it. Oh, I know where their God is. I know where they're trying to get us to worship. And
ladies and gentlemen, final headline regarding vaccinations right before the break here is this. With vaccine passports, politicians are hoping that business owners will do their dirty work. A great headline I just saw. Amen to that reality check. Don't fall for the lies. When we come back, Joe Biden has other agenda items he's pushing while we're distracted by the cocoa. Hang tight with Dr. Scott Bradley.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The U.S. economy added 916,000 jobs in March as the unemployment rate fell to 6%. Job creation was nearly double the 468,000 in February when the jobless rate was 6.2%. Economics professor at the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business, Austin Goolsbee, tells CNBC,
"The jobs market is actually better than it was before COVID began. But if you look down at the lower income paying jobs where the jobs got to be done on location, they're still really suffering. And this is the first of the big numbers that hopefully we're going to have 6, 8, 10 months in a row of big numbers like this."
Today is Good Friday, and many Christians around the world will be marking the day by commemorating the execution of Jesus Christ. This is USA Radio News.
When thinking about life insurance, my accident reinforced you never know what tomorrow might bring. That's why I reached out to AccuQuote. AccuQuote helps people find a life insurance policy that meets their needs. Since 1986, they've helped millions of folks save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. Longer or permanent terms are available. Even if you already own life insurance, you really need to check out my friends at AccuQuote. Don't worry about health issues. Remember, they help me. As a pastor, I'm concerned about your soul and helping you to make sure your family is taken care of. Life insurance is more affordable now than ever, so don't make them wish you'd made that call. 877-437-4781. Call now, 877-437-4781. 877-437-4781.
Each policy points and availability vary by state.
The Biden administration wants to open at least 10 emergency facilities for migrant children as thousands of illegal unaccompanied minors surge across the border. In Texas, El Paso Sector Chief Patrol Agent Gina Chavez says they have their hands full.
These are unaccompanied children that are showing up at our border, and every day our Border Patrol agents are out there with compassion and just taking care of these children.
That audio courtesy of NBC News. President Biden seems to be trying to move ahead with his promise to forgive student loans. Biden reportedly asking his education secretary to prepare a memo on his authority to cancel up to $50,000 in debt. On the campaign trail, he put the amount at $10,000, but is facing mounting pressure from progressives to wipe out more. Today is World Autism Day, and April is World Autism Month, with events and educational activities scheduled throughout the month. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I know the COVID and border and some of those things are critical topics. I get it. But Joe Biden is moving forward with socialism agendas like you wouldn't believe, and most folks don't even have their finger on the pulse of this. So Dr. Scott Bradley with me. There's two headlines that I want to bring up here. Joe Biden wants to cancel student debt through executive order. Do you want to respond to that, doctor?
Well, it's rather humorous if it weren't so tragically sad. The government does not have the authority, the power, and certainly the president doesn't, but if anybody would carefully read the United States Constitution, they would find that there's absolutely zero authority to do anything, virtually anything the president has done. I guess, I mean, it doesn't have to allow him to breathe, but I guess if he continues to do that, that's one thing that we probably would not, you know, withhold from him. But the fact of the matter is almost every action he has taken since taking office has been a violation of the United States Constitution. And you think about this. Someone enters into an agreement, and that agreement is, to borrow money, pay back money, so on and so forth. And the government is not empowered to intervene in any way, shape, or form and hold the lender harmless while saving the person that borrowed the money from the responsibility of repaying that. And certainly the intent of the Constitution, if you read Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution, is that a business is not to be interfered with by government. And so I guess this idea of a financial agreement between individuals and the government being able to intervene and squash it or somehow take it over a taxpayer expense. I mean, if Americans really thought about it, our total national revenue stream from all sources is about $3.5 trillion a year. On a regular year, we spend about $4.5 trillion. And this past year and this, you know, going forward in this year, we've been trillions above that. And it's like, how in the world does anybody expect this to have the means of so doing? You know, we don't have the slightest promise of being able to fulfill these things that he is going forward with. It's borrowing from our posterity. It's criminal. It's the eighth commandment being violated, thou shalt not steal. Putting it on the shoulders of future generations, and he's holding harmless these large financial institutions that may have been involved in some kind of an agreement that now they're saying, oh, it's unfair. The little woke group is saying, I didn't understand I'd have to pay this back. I'm so
overburdened.
Come on.
But he's adding insult to injury as well, ladies and gentlemen. So not only is Joe Biden wanting to cancel student debt by executive order as if he has authority, it gets worse, though, because on an Easter weekend of all times, he is reversing Trump-esque policies as well. And the headline says this: the Biden administration, and I'm writing this headline now, the Biden administration illegally gave Palestine millions of dollars in financial aid. They say they got to restore goodwill with the Palestinians. And so they gave $15 million and then $75 million. We don't know if the 15 was part of the 79, so we don't know if it's, or 75. So we don't really know if it's 60 and 15 or if it's 75 and 15. Nevertheless, literally well over $75 million. Joe just decided to write a check to the Palestinians of taxpayer money without authority. Illegally done. He should be arrested on the spot for such an unconstitutional action. Doctor?
Well, your assessment of that is absolutely correct. Again, there is not a shred of constitutional authority to do what is being done. Now, I must admit, and I don't, this isn't justification or validation or rationalization and approval or anything like that. This happens daily. You go back to Jimmy Carter and his Camp David peace accord with Israel and Egypt. And that was a payout. And it always has been. It's committed the United States forever to pay Israel and Egypt billions of dollars. And we have continued to do that. There's no constitutional authority. Think about this. Egypt and Israel.
Hold on. Not only is there, Dr. Bradley, no constitutional authority, but if you look at the delegation of appropriate powers, Congress is the only one that can spend money, and all spending bills must originate in the House. So not only is there no authority, but there's the rejection of authority. In other words, it's placed elsewhere intentionally. So it's beyond just saying he lacks authority, right?
Well, absolutely. He lacks authority, but Congress lacks authority. I mean, Congress can only spend money for the purposes enumerated in the Constitution, and that's where guys like Judge Roberts go off the rails, where they say, oh, Congress, well, they can tax if they want because of Article 1, Section 8, so we can tax anything and everything we want. And that's not it. It's delegated for specific purposes to be able to tax. And there is no constitutional authority to tax, to send the money to some tin-horn dictator or some benevolent friend or to some citizenry across the world or to a global organization that claims to have good purposes. There is nothing there to do it. And there's illustrative stories I use when I teach young people about these kinds of things that the young people get. But those in the highest offices, and certainly those that put them in offices, do not understand the fact that this delegation of authority is a limited, bounded responsibility to carry out whatever has been assigned them in the United States Constitution. And so I don't care if it's Jimmy Carter or Ronald Reagan or Donald Trump or Joe Biden that's doing these things. And by the way, here's what Congress does. Congress says, oh, we're giving the president, now this is a kind of a crude way of saying it. I mean, it's not going to be anything that anybody has to censure, but it's basically what they say. That we're going to give the president this big slush fund of international funds that he can dip into when he wants to buy his friends. And so Congress may, and well, then they do, put money in the spending bills for foreign policy. And so they started in the 7th, well, sometimes they don't always do it, they should, but in the 7th section of the first article, how Congress puts something like that together, the Senate approves it, and they get signed by the president. And so they've got many billions of dollars that they've kind of handed to the president without any, you know, real firm, you got to spend it this way kind of instructions. And so the president, Biden, goes and does that. Now, Trump did that to get some approval with the Northern Triangle Central American countries and Mexico. He was tossing money their way to get them to agree. It's, you know, people say, oh, he used great diplomacy to get these immigration problems underway. No, he didn't. He paid them bribes, all unconstitutionally. And what Joe Biden is doing is no more than that and no less. And he's buying friends with money and millions for defense, not one dime for any kind of bribe or any kind of ransom. Remember the Jefferson?
Well, so Joe wants to basically give the student loan people money for free and forgive their debt. He wants to literally illegally give the Palestinians a ton of money, mocking Trump's stance regarding Easter and more. And now it gets even worse because now the Biden administration is ramping up for a new version of net neutrality. You think we've been shut down and manipulated and controlled on the internet as of recent times? You ain't seen nothing yet, Doctor.
No, and in fact, I you could take this from the most granular level to the most macro level, tiniest to biggest. I think we're going to find that people keep saying, oh, the light is at the end of the tunnel in regards to coming out of these challenging times we're in. But they've got us where they want us. They're going to continue to leverage all of the tyranny that they've been able to put into our lives. And so, yeah, I foresee that this is not going to. Let's take Utah, for example. The legislature supposedly said on April 10th, they're going to lift the mask mandate, which was never legal in the first place, but we don't have to talk about that right now. And so our governor yesterday calls a big news conference and says, no, wait a minute. In spite of what the legislature just said, we're not going to do it. We're extending this for all state locations and all this kind of stuff. And so we have large municipalities in the state that are doing the same thing. They're taking the same stuff. And it's like, wait. This so-called pandemic has followed the cycle much like, of course, we're like 54 or 55 weeks into the 2 weeks to flatten the curve, which means we've extended it way beyond when it should have been for herd immunity based upon normal exposure rates. But what's happened is that they're saying, no, we got to keep doing the right things. It's diminishing. So we're doing the right thing. No, we're not. It's a natural occurring thing. It'll come back again in the fall, people.
Shame on the governor, ladies and gentlemen, that's for sure. Quick pause. I want to tell you this also. The Virginia Supreme Court ruled on Thursday, so yesterday, that yes, they can take down the Confederate general statues from the city of Charlottesville. Wow.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm, available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So the court ruled they can take down the statues of Robert E. Lee and Cornwall Jackson and whatever. And this is serious because it's going to destroy our history. People won't even know the history of America. Agree or disagree with the South or those specific generals. When you take down statues of Confederate generals, you literally jettison our history, and sadly, we're doomed to repeat the negative portions of that history if we're not aware of it. So we thought we'd bring that to your attention. Also, Joe Biden, his infrastructure plans pave the road to ruin in America. Family Research Council bringing this up. He literally wants to spend another couple of billion on government infrastructure projects. And I remind you, the government control of this property and building out roads and services, and it's like a fascist communist utopia plan Biden's backing here, Dr. Bradley.
Well, just a couple, those two issues that you just brought up, which are quite divergent, by the way, in terms of their correlation to each other. But
I'm pretty good at triggering the good doctor and bringing up these divergent issues there, ladies and gentlemen. Right?
The idea, now remember how the world's conscience was offended by something the Taliban did 20 years and 1 month ago, when they dynamited these cultural items over in Afghanistan in regards to Buddha. And the Taliban blew them up, and they were like 40 feet tall and 60 foot tall statues. And oh my goodness, we can't have these things. They're idols and everything like that. They were part of the history of the area. Because the people's religion has changed doesn't mean that they weren't something of magnificent structure and everything like that. Everybody around the world was offended. And now they've decided
by the way, doctor.
Okay, I understand that.
I just want to be
that.
Clear, I wasn't fully offended.
I would have expected
I'll
that.
I'll tell you what I was offended by. I was offended by our desire to shut them down as if they don't have free speech in their countries.
But here's the deal. Now everybody here is rewriting our history. And by the way, Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee, they are head and shoulders above any, and I make that a blanket statement, any of the Union generals that served during that Civil War era. They were men
true
of
story.
Christian character quality. And so here we're taking down, Stonewall Jackson, I don't remember the number exactly, but I think he started 28 schools for black children. I mean, he and his wife were great Christians. And this idea of if you just turned the slavery off and people got thrown out into the world and they didn't have the skills to survive, Stonewall was preparing for the ways that they might be able to go out and succeed in the world. Great and noble people. And so we have today these kinds of things that they're just rewriting history and painting everywhere with the same tar brush. Let's go to the infrastructure bill for a second. It wasn't a couple of billion. It's $2.5 trillion almost. I think it's $2.3 trillion. I don't remember the number exactly.
Sorry, yeah, I said billion. But, I meant trillion. You're right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's a few trillion among friends? But at any rate, the fact of the matter is, again, a bankrupt country, a country that is vastly overspending what our revenue stream is, and they come up with these absurd things, and then you look at Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, that says the United States government's, it limits and bounds the United States government's land holdings and how they, you know, basically would deal with land issues. And it limits the national government or general government to 64,000 acres plus any, you know, magazines and forts and stuff that the states might agree to. But the fact of the matter is they're going to take out hundreds of thousands and thousands and millions of acres of government control over our highways and infrastructure, and they're going to spend money that's not constitutionally authorized on these things. And by the way, we can go back and we could trace the history where there's time to look at how we have come to this abominable position. But the effort to spend money like this was started clear back in 1792, and in February 7th of 1792, James Madison, as a congressman, got up on the floor of the Congress and explained the dangers of such things and how we would lose our nation where we allow money to be spent for any purpose that anybody decided was a good reason. Because there were even people clear back in 1792 that said, you know what, we could go to the government person, we could do this and we could do that. But Madison solemnly warned against these kinds of things. Today, we are 10,000 times 10,000 orders of magnitude over what was being proposed back in 1792. But Biden thinks that he's been an elected monarch, and by executive decree and monarchical, you know, order, he's going to set things forth. And, of course, Congress will fall in line because his party thinks that they're monarchs, too, none of which is true. So the things that we're seeing happening today really are an indication of the ignorance of those from the very, they're either ignorant, deceived, or they're deceivers. And I guess you could figure out which category they're in.
Many of them are a blend of all the above, depending on the topic as well, right?
It is true. But at the highest levels of this nation, clear down through we the people, and we are really who's responsible. Because if we put people like this into office and don't hold their feet in the fire to obey their oath of office, which is a very limited grant and delegation of authority, then, and we don't hold them accountable, I guess we get the kind of government we deserve. And Jackson's,
sad but true.
Farewell to.
Speaking of the kind of government we deserve, here's the final story that I want you to respond to this hour. These stories all kind of relate to the same thing, controlling us and spending our money. We've got to put a stop to it. Here's the final headline, a story for discussion today. Headline says this: government watchdog, so we're talking about Judicial Watch, government watchdog confirms that the federal government was buying baby body parts, and they literally spent thousands, millions of dollars for pieces of infants so they could carry on working on their humanized mice project. Over the last few years, folks, there's been an uproar over the sale of body parts by abortionists and the purchase by people who largely have been doing research with the body parts of unborn babies. The organs are obtained by abortionists, then they're transferred to middle companies who then transfer them or sell them to buyers. It's remained an issue because of a series of lawsuits that anti-abortionists have brought against this abortion mill baby part selling industry. All right. Anyway, they say there's criminal investigations. But it turns out, folks, that now government watchdog Judicial Watch has confirmed that the purchase of some of the baby body parts included the federal government. Your tax dollars, in other words. The organization on Thursday said that it had received several documents, records, from the Food and Drug Administration showing the agency literally spent tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars to buy baby body parts from this bioscience resources group. And anyway, Judicial Watch said the records were communications between AVR procurement manager. Anyway, this Christina Howard lady, it gives you all the detail. But Judicial Watch explains the exchanges that, hey, the federal government was literally buying baby body parts. And they say, we have three batches of mice that still need to be humanized. And so we need these, baby body parts to conduct our research. They wanted to know the sex of the tissue that was going to be received. They said, we can't know the sex because the abortionists are destroying the plumbing or the, sexual organs, and we can't tell. So we'll try to go back to the abortionists and make sure that they're more careful when they extract these baby body parts and these organs so that they don't destroy the sex and we can keep that intact. That'll make the baby body parts worth more. And they say, dang, those were wonderful tissues. I sure wish we could keep them, but without knowing, we can't. Anyway, it goes on and on and on, this huge story. They email and say, this week I'm working with a doctor who induces fetal demise at 20 weeks and 16 weeks. And anyway, bottom line is fetal organ trafficking documents shock the conscience and show potential illegal use of tax dollars. So the feds were in on the body part buying business, and that's why those who are trying to get to the bottom of it have been arrested and fined and stymied and shut down, because the government didn't want to get their hand caught in the cookie jar, but they got caught, Dr. Bradley.
Well, there's a lot more to this than we even have in the couple of minutes that are left. I mean, Kamala Harris has historically been engaged in attempting to prevent anybody to know what Planned Parenthood has been doing with this. There's some abominable tapes out, about a dozen of them that I know of, that talk about that show the discussions that were taped with the Planned Parenthood people. It is illegally federally to buy these aborted fetal tissues, and they are definitely being used in medical research. And the fact that the federal government, the national government, has been involved is absolutely atrocious. And the other thing that kind of circles around back to the so-called vaccine is that in virtually every case there have been these fetal tissues that have been used in the development, at least, and maybe they're actually incorporated into the injection, that they say, this happened years ago and we're just using stuff we've kept alive. And it's like, we as Christian nation should recognize that human sacrifice, because I get people that are even supposedly religious leaders that say, this human tissue is being used for a good purpose to benefit us all nowadays, and so we should be so grateful for this. It makes me want to puke. But here's the deal. They are sacrificing humans for this research. These are unborn babies, have never drawn the first breath of life, and here's the deal. Again, circling back to what we started out with, this weekend, we recognize our only sole Savior, Jesus Christ. And these religious leaders that attempt to make this fetal tissue that was harvested, these are euphemistic terms, even long ago, we should be grateful for them. And it's horrific to think that they're continuing to ongo. And if the general government is involved in the purchase of it, it's all illegal, unconstitutional, everything like that. But for even religious leaders to give a wink and a nod to this practice absolutely makes me sick to my stomach. And I believe that somehow, some way, God is going to hold us accountable, and we need to turn back to Him. But this weekend, let's turn to Jesus Christ. This weekend, let's recognize His divine sacrifice on our behalf to reconcile us with God the Father, and make it so our return to Him is possible. But let's stop this bizarre twisting. You know, this. Think about sacrificing to Moloch anciently.
Well, it's Satan's plan on steroids in modern times, that's for sure. We are out of time, but I'm telling you, I concur with Dr. Scott Bradley. We the people need to repent and fast. We celebrate Easter weekend and beg you and pray that you'll do the same. For Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.